Welcome to Clinical Conversations, a Journal Watch podcast. This is podcast number 90. I'm Joe Elia. We talk about an intriguing trial from Canada that shows, or seems to show, that diabetes can be prevented in patients with impaired glucose tolerance. The researchers used a two-drug combination, metformin and rosiglitazone, but at low doses. Stay tuned. Some news first, and I'll be brief. There were two intriguing stories this week, which, if their data are confirmed, could change things in medical practice. The first one is that piece that we've got an interview about. The second study, from BMJ, implies that hormone replacement therapy in postmenopausal women is safer with a low-dose patch than with a pill. The problem is that the data aren't definitive, but they are suggestive, so we'll surely be hearing more about this. That's it for the news. Now let's go to the interview. You're listening to Clinical Conversations. Lancet this week offers a study showing that a combination of metformin and rosiglitazone, given together in low doses twice a day, can prevent the development of diabetes in patients with impaired glucose tolerance. In this randomized placebo-controlled trial called the CANOE trial, the two-drug combo dramatically lowered the rate at which diabetes developed in a group of 200 patients with impaired glucose tolerance and at least one additional risk factor for diabetes at entry. Over a four-year period, treatment as compared with placebo lowered risk by some 66% in relative terms and about 25% in absolute terms. The authors calculate a number needed to treat of four. But let's get more definitive information. I invited Dr. Bernard Zinman, the study's first author, in for a chat. Dr. Zinman is director of the Leadership Sinai Center for Diabetes at Mount Sinai Hospital and professor of medicine at the University of Toronto, both in Toronto. Welcome, Dr. Zinman.
Pleasure to join you today.
Can you tell us briefly the rationale for using those two drugs and in low doses?
Well, you know, we're facing an epidemic of type 2 diabetes, and the notion of preventing diabetes is a sound one, particularly since if you don't develop diabetes, you're likely not to get the disabling long-term complications of diabetes. So there have been two approaches. One has been a lifestyle intervention, which is shown to be effective, but extremely difficult to implement in the context of a clinical practice. I think what we need is societal changes with better nutrition, people exercising more, having a change in the educational curriculum at schools, and stop the supersizing, better vending machines, et cetera, et cetera. Another approach, of course, is a pharmacologic approach, and that has as well been shown to be effective, particularly metformin and the thiazolidinediones, both rosiglitazone and pioglitazone have been shown to be effective. However, the pharmacologic approach is also associated with significant side effects, principally weight gain, gastrointestinal side effects. The thiazolidinediones like rosiglitazone and pioglitazone are associated with fluid retention, increased risk of heart failure, and increased risk of bone fractures. So the notion is why not use low-dose combination therapy using two drugs that have complementary mechanisms of action in order to get a robust effect on lowering the risk of diabetes, yet minimizing the adverse effects. It's sort of well known that half maximal dose of most agents give you more than half maximal effect. And when you go to maximum dose, you may go from 70, 80 to 100% effect, but that's when the side effects really start increasing substantially. Mm-hmm. So we chose rosiglitazone and metformin approximately 6 years ago because that combination was available as Vandamet, as a single pill. And we decided to use half maximal doses. And we're looking principally, and this wasn't a study of looking at safety, but rather principally whether we can get a robust effect in lowering the risk of diabetes, and not seeing the common adverse effects of both these agents, namely the weight gain, the fluid retention, the increased risk of heart failure, and the gastrointestinal side effects. Mm-hmm. And so the study that we reported in The Lancet actually showed just that, as you mentioned, a very robust effect in preventing diabetes, But there was no weight gain. There was no change in BNP, which is a biomarker for measuring fluid retention. There was no change in patients complaining of edema or fluid retention. And so we think we've accomplished that goal. And I think just to end, the notion of using combination therapies even for treating diabetes is a new paradigm, but I think is going to become a much more accepted as opposed to a stepwise approach where we fail with one drug and then do another drug and then another drug and then finally insulin, but rather using combinations early.
Your dropout rate from the group was about 20%, and since it was double blind, people didn't know what they were getting, but apparently they knew that one of the drugs might be rosiglitazone.
Right.
And when you investigated why people dropped out, they said that there were concerns about rosiglitazone.
Right. And so, you know, this was at the time when there was a very significant press about the safety of rosiglitazone with respect to cardiovascular safety. We also felt obliged to have our patient informed that there was a meta-analysis. This was the Nissen paper indicating increased cardiovascular risk with rosiglitazone. And so some patients were anxious about that, even though they don't have diabetes, they have impaired glucose tolerance, and it was at a lower dose. So the majority were quite satisfied to continue in the study, but as you can see from the paper, there were some that were anxious about the potential risk. Now, you know, let me stress again, this is a small study designed to see if we had the same impact in preventing diabetes with low-dose combinations as the maximum dose of other drugs, and was not designed to look at cardiovascular safety. Nonetheless, you know, the fact that there's no weight gain, no fluid retention, no increase in BNP, to me, suggests that indeed this kind of approach may be more appropriate and have less cardiovascular risk in the long term, but that has to be tested.
Right, and the editorialists would agree with you, and they suggest that you're going to have to collect, or that this theory, this approach, will need more data on high-dose therapy. Given the concerns about rosiglitazone, are such trials possible,
there's currently a trial going on called the TIDE study,
mm-hmm.
TIDE, which is a study being actually run from Hamilton. It's with thousands of patients for 5 years that'll be looking at thiazolidinediones in general as to whether they are cardiovascular protective or whether there's a risk, both looking at PIO and ROSI,
mm-hmm.
and we'll also be comparing ROSI with PIO. So that's ongoing now, and it's in the stage of recruitment. And so hopefully that study will answer the question of, well, number one, are the thiazolidinediones cardiovascular protective? Do they impart a risk? And the second thing is whether there's a difference between rosiglitazone and pioglitazone. We really don't know. There is, of course, some evidence. It's not robust evidence that there may be some problem with rosiglitazone, but it's from meta-analyses. It's from epidemiologic databases. There's evidence that rosiglitazone is perfectly safe and effective from the RECORD study and other studies as well. So we really just don't know, and that has to be confirmed by a different kind of trial.
According to one study back in 2007, I think the rosiglitazone number needed to harm was something like 22
mm-hmm.
for death, and so that is concerning. Mm-hmm. Although it was, I think, based on epidemiologic data,
right,
as well. When do you guess that the TIDE study results might be available?
Yeah, so, you know, I think one has to be very cautious about epidemiologic data because, as you know, there was strong epidemiologic data that estrogen replacement therapy was very beneficial for you. When a randomized controlled trial was done, mm-hmm. It showed just the opposite effects. There's many examples of that. And so, you know, one has to look at evidence carefully and say, okay, what kind of evidence this is? And the best evidence is, of course, from double-blind randomized controlled trials. The TIDE study probably in about 5 years, and mm-hmm. so that's going to be a while, and we'll have to wait and see what happens in the interim.
And so for the time being, clinicians are left with what they've got.
Right. I think there are 2 thiazolidinediones. It depends on the cost. It depends on availability, on formulary access as to which one they would use. That is something that remains unresolved.
All right. Well, I think we've covered the highlights of the study, Dr. Zinman, and I want to thank you for your spending time with us today.
My pleasure.
That's the podcast for this week. You can reach Clinical Conversations at 1-617-440-4374. Earlier podcasts are available at podcasts.jwatch.org, where links for all our news stories are also found. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next time, and thanks for listening.